Welcome to this podcast called Curious About Recovery. I am Kirsten Honeyball. I am your host. And in this podcast, I will be diving deep into eating disorders, which are complex and challenging to navigate. So whether you're a sufferer, a professional, a family or loved one of a sufferer, you can join me as I get curious by interviewing professionals, chatting to eating disorder survivors, and sharing my personal experience with an eating disorder so that you can better understand various perspectives, remove stigma, hear inspiring testimonies, and simply get curious about all things eating disorder related. I would like to put out a trigger warning. These episodes explore the topic of eating disorders, and some content may be triggering to listeners. Topics explored may mention, but are not limited to, trauma, diets, food and body types, suicide, mental illness, substance use, self-harm, violence, gender identification topics, and more. Please take care before listening to any episodes. It's important to note that this podcast is not aimed to diagnose, treat, or cure any form of mental illness and should not be seen as a replacement for treatment of eating disorders. Everything said here is expressed in relation to personal and professional opinions, and listeners should be encouraged to view these episodes as an open-minded exploration of various possibilities and perspective rather than hard facts and solutions. Please take what applies or resonates with you and leave the rest. And if you're struggling with an eating disorder, don't hesitate to reach out to me at kirsten@kirstenhoneyball.co.za. Today on this podcast episode, we have the beautiful Francesca Rose. She is a eating disorder recovery coach based in South Africa. She helps individuals in their journey by weaving in embodiment-led coaching, sacred plant medicine wisdom, and somatic-based practices. She helps people explore how both the body and psychedelics are tools, resources, allies, and catalysts in eating disorder and disordered eating recovery. When working with her, you can move into a space of unifying your body, heart, and mind for holistic, long-term recovery that is aligned with a deeper sense of purpose, belonging, and worth. She believes that each person has their own unique recovery path and has their own medicine to share with the world. So it's really lovely to have her here on the show with us today because I think she brings an incredibly unique perspective to the idea of eating disorder recovery. I mean, you've probably heard of the more common modalities, DBT, you've heard of, you've maybe even heard of somatic practices and all of that stuff. But one of the really interesting elements that she brings to the table is this idea of incorporating plant medicine in her work with her clients. And there's a lot of, you know, controversy around this topic because a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of its actual benefits and how it can help you. And a lot of people have stigma attached to this idea of plant medicine and the process. And, you know, because it's definitely framed in a very negative sense in the world at the moment. But as she says, she believes each person has a unique recovery path and has their own medicine to share with the world. And so if you really resonate with plant medicine being an effective thing that helps you find lasting freedom from an eating disorder, then heck, this is the person to come to, and she has the knowledge and the experience to share that with you. So really just hoping for her to help us understand it a little bit better today and just talk a little bit about herself. So yeah, thank you so much for being on this show. I would love to get to know a little bit more about the work that you do and why you chose to work in this specific niche and area specifically in your career.
Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for having me on your podcast. So how I found myself here was really just by my own life path and my own journey. I have been walking the eating disorder recovery path for many, many years, probably going back to about 2007. And I went through many different kinds of treatments, lots of different traditional treatment, inpatients, various therapies, certainly received a lot of support and improvement. However, it felt like there was still this lingering voice. And I think for many people who have experienced an eating disorder, they probably really get and understand just how tough that voice can be and how pervasive these thought processes can be. And I was feeling on a mission. There was a sense of like, if I die with this eating disorder, if I die not having overcome this, then I'll feel quite upset. Upset doesn't feel like the right word to say, but a sense of like, it is possible to recover despite what a lot of research tells us, that it has one of the lowest recovery rates and the highest mortality rates. And I wanted to go against that. And so I found myself quite organically, not really through kind of a conscious search, but found myself in the world of plant medicine and found myself being exposed to more somatic-based approaches to being and healing, not necessarily within the eating disorder space, but I was seeing how when working with plant medicine and when engaging in somatic-based practices, that it was impacting and bringing up stuff from my eating disorder. And so I was feeling the impact of this work, how on the one hand, with a somatic-based approach, we are moving from the bottom up, we are looking at the nervous system, and we are actually making contact with the body in ways that I had never contacted before. A lot of my treatment beforehand was talk therapy and kind of in that safe space of from like the neck up or from the head up. And everything below that, my entire body was not really incorporated into the picture. And so I still found it so challenging to be with and in my body. And so it was with these embodiment processes and learning how to be present with my body that I found this missing link, that the body itself can be a resource for my own recovery and has the capacity to be resourced, to be developed in a way that I can work with it in challenging situations rather than going outside of myself, like using food or, you know, over exercising, say using my body as a way to try and mitigate these challenging waves and ebbs and flows of life that I just felt I didn't have the capacity to hold for myself. And the plant medicine came in also pretty organically, a number of years also into my recovery. This was a way for me to touch in on very deep unconscious layers of my being that were directing my entire life without me knowing. So it's often how these past traumas and these very deep unconscious internalized beliefs and thought patterns that direct and lead our lives without us even realizing. So we end up repeating similar patterns and behaviors and unsure why we keep repeating the same stuff and coming up against the same, you know, issues and conflicts. So with the support of these medicines, which I consider for me teachers and guides and supporters and allies, was able to really shine light on all the parts of myself that have been repressed or forgotten or ignored. But also beyond that, because I started to feel this alliance with these medicines and seeing them as teachers, they are beings, they have consciousness, they are here on this planet as plants and as fungi to support our awakening. They have that potential as medicine. And I found that in the process of, you know, showing up to these teachers, like how I would show up to any kind of human teacher who I respect, there was a sense that I was also showing up for myself in a very deep way. I started to learn about being in right relationship and experiencing like a secure, loving attachment through these plants, and was able to start to extend that out into my waking real life. So the path has been organic. The path has been unexpected. It's been creative and unique to me. And I share the energy that's of who I am with people who I work with, and really trust that what I offer and the path that I've walked resonates with, you know, a specific group of people who want to come to understand what it means to heal from an embodied way with the wisdom of plant medicine as it works for them. And sometimes that wisdom comes in just through our sharing, but sometimes I'm supporting people in preparation for a ceremony or helping them integrate a journey or supporting them through a microdosing practice. And then in sessions together, we're learning about the nervous system. We are making contact with the body. Yeah, I really feel like what I'm offering and what I'm sharing to others is an approach that I wish that I had in the earlier phases of my recovery. And I also understand that the reason I didn't have this in my recovery was probably because I wasn't ready. So also honoring this whole long process of what it takes to be in recovery.
You know, it's really beautiful to hear you speak about the process that you've been through and how you got to where you are, you know, and what really comes up for me while you're speaking are two things. The first one is this idea that you need to be ready to be in the stage of recovery in the process. You need to actually be aware of what you're doing. You need to be guided through what you're doing. And something like plant medicine, which has so much controversy, and for those who are listening and don't necessarily understand what plant medicine is, you know, we talk about everything from the medicinal mushrooms you can get off of the shelf at any health store to psychedelics, to microdosing, to going through ceremonial processes and everything, and just how this holistically incorporates into your ability to better understand yourself and move past the fears and the beliefs and the patterns that are keeping you stuck. And, you know, when I've done a little bit of reading about this idea of plant medicine, it speaks a lot about how there are some fears or some places where we can't access with the conscious mind, you know, and no matter how much we sit and we talk about it and we can do hypnosis and we can do psychotherapy and we can utilize skills in our day-to-day basis, but there's so much going on a deep subconscious level that we're not actually aware of. And these things might actually be keeping us stuck. And the ability to move into a safe space with psychedelics, it opens up the ability to move past these places of fear, move past these places of judgment, where we get stuck and we kind of find a door that gets closed that we can't get past, you know? So maybe talk to me a little bit about this process of using psychedelics as a method for helping a person recover from an eating disorder and how you walk them through this process. Like, what do the ceremonies look like? How do you prepare them? What is a safe way to approach this? In contrast to what a lot of people see psychedelics as, is just another escape and another reason to not deal with their problems and to not really integrate who they are on a fundamental level.
Yeah, beautiful question. And the first thing that comes to mind is this idea of intention setting. So we can, you know, engage, we can, you know, take the magic mushroom, we can take psilocybin at a festival and we can have a great time, or we can create a container that is specifically for healing. And so depending on how we want to, you know, use these as tools, incorporate these plants as allies, is, you know, we have that capacity to decide the container and the space that we want to journey in. And depending on the container that we create, really will impact the journey and the insights that we have. If you think of a festival, for example, and a recreational use of psychedelics, it's an open space. There are often a lot of different people. There may be other kinds of substances that are going on. It's a container that is very open. And so the amount of safety to go within is less so than if you are in a closed space, like maybe even your own room or a ceremonial room that has been specifically created. And in that space, it's a contained place where it often feels very safe, so that there's deeper healing that can take place. It's like you can have a talk session with your therapist on the dance floor at a festival, or you could have it in a room. And like the type of like insight that comes through and the conversation that you'll have will be very different. How it looks, I would just like to say that starting off, and what is key, is preparation. Before you even walk into a ceremony or into a journey with whatever plant that you feel called, and that's a whole nother conversation. It's like, you know, what psychedelic for eating disorders, or what psychedelic for healing? And really that speaks to, what are you feeling that resonant call towards? What are you feeling most drawn towards at this time, whether it would be mushrooms or ayahuasca or iboga or MDMA, even something like a cacao ceremony? You know, there's so many different plants that we can work with, and each one has their own energy. Each one has like their own personality, so to speak, and their own way of working with each individual. Even though each journey will be different, they all have their own unique personality and their own ways of sharing information. And so whatever, what you are feeling called towards often is speaking to something within you, a type of energy that you are needing within yourself. If we think about, again, going to a therapist or a coach, we are drawn to a specific coach because of their energy, because of their way of working with us. And it's the same with these plants. We feel a call to a certain plant. Maybe we've done some research. Hopefully we've done some research. Checking if there are any contraindications, if you're on other kinds of medication. Also looking if there's a specific kind of diet that is required. And again, for eating disorders, this is like a conversation that I really enjoy to have, because sometimes it's better to forego the specific diet that's required before a ceremony and rather focus on your own well-being and healing, which may mean just to keep up with the food that you're eating, because sometimes these diets can be a bit restrictive and can be triggering and can put you into some kind of little bit of a spiral. It's happened to me, and so I speak to it because it's very important to be honest with where you are in your recovery. If going on a specific diet for 2 weeks or so, or a week, may impact your recovery, and we have to choose our highest well-being in that moment, and sometimes a protocol is not the way to go. So there's a whole bunch of preparation, and I would say what I'm most passionate about is the somatic work and these embodiment practices, because it's our body that gets us through a journey. Oftentimes in journeys, there is a heightened sensitivity. There's a lot of energy that's going on. Everything is just a lot more intense on a sensory level. And we're going and looking at some deep material. And so it's the body, it's the breath that helps us move through some of these challenging waves. And so as part of preparation, learning how to track the body and the sensations, learning how to resource the body in those more challenging moments as we go deeper into the depths, or as the energy really starts to rise, how can we ground and regulate and balance and consolidate ourselves in those moments? And so in the sessions leading up to a journey, we can practice many different embodiment processes to help us become more deeply integrated with our own body, so that in the journey, it's almost like muscle memory as to what to do in moments of challenge as we're navigating the waves, rather than, you know, maybe becoming overwhelmed at what is happening or becoming frightened. It's like we can use a long exhale, for example. We could use some self-touch. We can engage in our senses. We can have a greater awareness of what is going on inside our bodies, tracking the sensations and becoming aware of like, all right, my body, I'm becoming more activated in this moment. What can I do just to settle myself a little bit more? How can I gather the energy and direct it in a more grounded way? That would be part of the preparation, as well as becoming clear on your intentions, because an intention is its energy that is kind of spotlighted energy that works a bit ahead of time. An intention is a few steps ahead in the future, and it gathers all of the pieces together in each present moment, and it will land, the intention will land and manifest at some point in the future somewhere. We don't always know, but what an intention does is that it supports the focus of the energy. It reminds us why we are here and is a message to the medicine of why we are sitting, why we are journeying. And it's just, yeah, it's a way to hone in and focus. So becoming clear on intentions, making contact with the body, and setting yourself up for a safe journey. Really doing the research into where you'll be journeying and who you'll be journeying with. And making the time to really do the research and connect with the space that you're going to be journeying in. Because the safer that we feel with the group that we're with or the facilitator that we're with, well, the deeper we can go. A strong container that feels safe means that deeper vulnerability can come through and healing can come through. I would really recommend that you and the facilitator meet up beforehand in person, have a conversation, whether it's in person or online, really make that time. If you can spend a few days with them beforehand, that's even better. Really focus on co-creating a solid container. And that is both on your part, but also the facilitator, their commitment to supporting you in your healing. And then I would like to just speak to, you know, what happens after a ceremony. There are many different things that we can do to like cushion and nourish the conditions after what can feel like a really big adventure, a really big journey. And so ensuring that like as part of your preparation, that all of the admin of figuring out where you need to go, where you're going to be spending those few days after the journey is all organized. No, in the preparation, you've also communicated with somebody that this is what you're going to do as part of just safety and holding. So there's a bit of admin that needs to be done in the preparation so that as soon as the journey ends, you just know where to go and you land in a very soft space, almost like a retreat space that you've created for yourself for some time to integrate the experience. And then the ongoing integration is a whole nother story, but that's really where the ceremony begins. And for people with eating disorders, it's an ongoing process. In the journey, there may be some things that come up as to how the eating disorder developed or where it's showing up. And the plants can help create a blank slate, a fresh start. So when you come out of those journeys, you're like a newborn baby. And so really tending to yourself in very gentle and soft ways is so important. And then the work is to really tend to those new conditions, to tend to the new soil, to keep nurturing the new seeds. And that is an ongoing process. But now you have been armed with new insights and a new understanding that maybe makes it, and I believe makes it easier to keep walking this road of recovery.
I think it's so interesting how you've incorporated the process from days or weeks, even before you go into any kind of plant medicine ceremony, the things you need to prepare, the intentions you need to set, what the ceremony would then entail, and then the after effect. Because I think a lot of the time, what people can do is they can hear about plant medicine and they don't do it in a safe space. They don't do it with a facilitator. They don't do it where they're guided by someone and they just go, oh, okay, cool, I'm going to go for a weekend to do this thing and then come back to normal life and be fixed for forever, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people get it wrong, is that they don't understand and kind of cherish and nurture the entire process from beginning to end. And that's where you would step in as a facilitator and as a coach to help them deal with the emotions that come up, the things that they find in that space, the things that they struggle with afterwards. And then also kind of that maintenance program that happens afterwards. So what do we need to put in place? Do we need to now go into some kind of maintenance program? Do we do this more than once? Is it more intense, or do we need a more gentle approach? And so it's a really important thing for anyone who's considering plant medicine as an effective treatment for any mental health or healing journey, is that you have to respect the space. You have to know that this isn't just a quick fix. It's not a joyride, and it's not something that is just going to magically wave a wand and everything in your life is going to fall into place. And that's actually a sacred process. So the one thing that really stood out for me was this idea of feeling called to a certain ingredient or plant medicine. So, you know, one of the things that you talk about in the work that you do is this idea of recovering a person's intuition as the most important and fundamental element of their healing space and their healing journey. So how would a person who has no idea of what their intuition is saying, what they need, who they are, anything, how would they know what's called to them if they aren't in that space of being able to connect on that level? How do you guide a person like that?
I love this question. I love speaking about intuition because my own journey with it, especially when I was very deep in my eating disorder, there was a sense that I was like, I don't have any intuition. It's a gift that everybody else has, but me, like, what is this thing? Everybody can like just feel something or like, you know, resonate with something. And I just feel nothing. I just feel numb. And so there was for a long time this story that I told myself that it was something that everybody had but me. And part of my recovery has resulted in me coming to realize that we all have a sense of intuition. And it's part of our ability to move through life, to stay safe, and to move away from danger. On a very fundamental level, our intuition brings us closer to safety and away from danger. So if we think about our gut, like, I just had that gut feeling that that space was just not cool. And so I left, or I had this gut feeling that this person was just not okay. And I stayed, and then all of this happened, and I wish I listened to it. Why didn't I listen to it? That is our intuition speaking. Our intuition is when our hair stands up on our arms or behind our neck. Our intuition is when we feel our heart like race as we like see another person. And there's like, this, oh, like, I feel like I know this person. Or intuition is, you know, we see a course or a program or a training, or even we meet somebody and there's a sense of like, I don't know why, I just feel like I need to learn about this thing, or I need to pick up this book, or I need to reach out to this person and I need to have a session with them. Or it's like, I feel called to Guatemala. I don't know why, and I'm just going to go. It's like all of these things speak to a sense of knowing, but like the cognitive brain cannot really make sense of it. And it's only once you're in it, do you kind of really know why you're there. It's the same thing with medicine of like, I'm like getting all these signs and feeling called to ayahuasca. I'm not exactly sure, but you know, it feels like I'm just getting pushed in towards this stream, and I just need to go down this river and see what's there. Eating disorders are a response to something that was challenging that happened. It's a set of behaviors that stem from a place where we felt we needed to protect ourselves. And the only thing that we could do in that moment was learning how to work with food and the body to protect ourselves and stay safe. For whatever reason, my expression of my authenticity and who I am in the world was not received in the way that I wanted it to be received. So there's a sense that I then had to shift who I am in order to still stay in connection with my family or the people around me. So there was this modification of my expression and a shift in how I moved through the world that didn't really feel authentic to me, but at least it was accepted. This then results in a disconnection from my intuition, because if I listen to what I truly want or what is coming from deep within me, it is unsafe, because that original wounding was that my expression and my needs and wants are not received. So an eating disorder does represent this disconnection from the intuition, because it is unsafe to listen and be guided by this from this deeper place. There is a fear that if I move from that place, from that deep place of intuition, that I won't be accepted, that my unique expression will not be accepted. And so when we go into the space of recovery, we're actually learning how to trust this deeper sense, regardless of where it takes us, regardless of how it looks and how it will be received by others. So it's this reclamation of my authentic truth and my authentic expression and movement through the world. And with that, there is also an ability to now more accurately perceive what I am drawn towards, what feels safe, and also what is dangerous, and what I want to actually stay away from and set boundaries. The boundaries is also like a listening to what doesn't feel right for me and creating that, versus an eating disorder where there's often a lack of boundaries and an inability to communicate what we want and what we need and what we don't want and what we don't need. And then also a big part of the intuition is, because it doesn't work from the cognitive mind, it requires trust, because it's actually moving from a place of not knowing. It's a moving from a place of surrender. And the eating disorder doesn't like that. The eating disorder likes to know what everything is at every single time of the day, or however it's manifesting for each individual. But there's a high level of management and wanting just to stay on top of things and knowing and just managing and controlling. And with intuition, it's like, I'm just going to be led by this feeling, and I don't actually know exactly how it's going to be manifesting and where it's going to take me. The recovery process and tapping into our intuition reminds us that, like, we've never had control. The illusion the eating disorder gives is that we do have control and that things can like stay ordered and permanent. But that illusion is shattered when we step into recovery and have this wider awareness that it's always changing and it's always impermanent and it's always groundless in a sense. And this is also what plant medicine teaches us, that it's all impermanent. And it's just how we hold ourselves through these ever-changing tides, rather than trying to just hold on to the shore and try to keep everything the same, which is what the eating disorder does. Recovery asks us to go down the middle of the river and to trust and surrender. Intuition, as scary as it can be, to move with it and to really allow it is huge. And then I would also just like to say that when we think about the gut, there's a lot of healing that will come from eating disorders. When we start to eat in a healthy way, we start to rebuild and repair the gut, you know, on a very physical level. And if I think about like the semi-permeable membrane of the gut, which allows certain things to come in and out and is very clear on what comes in and out, this is what recovery is also about, is learning what can come in and what can come out. But if there's a tear in the gut lining, which is leaky gut, then that means that food particles go into the bloodstream and there's inflammation and a whole lot of things that come from leaky gut. And so being in recovery is actually also learning how to seal those tears and those holes where the boundaries have been ruptured, where the traumas have not been resolved, so that we create a strong container for ourselves to really hold ourselves in times of change and in times of challenge and in times of pleasure, and to allow the good things, the goodness, love, connection to actually come in and to be held in that container rather than it's just like seeping out of the holes in the container. So I like to think about healing of the gut is also directly connected to being in recovery.
I love the fact that you use this idea of a semipermeable membrane and it having tears and how the physical tear in the gut, so the leaky gut syndrome, can be a metaphorical representation of our psychological tears, our lack of ability to know what to let in, what to keep out, and to have that flow that's actually in a space where we're thriving. And, you know, you spoke about boundaries, and what I've often experienced is that people with eating disorders have very sensitive natures. And a lot of the time we've been conditioned, brought up in families and societies, anything like that, that condition us to believe that sensitive nature is either weak or not allowed or too much. And so we either then open the floodgates too much and we go into like maybe a really difficult ability to know when to say no, or to know when to stop, or to know when to create balance or peace in our lives, or we go into this complete shutdown because of this. There's something out there telling us that our permeability, our semi-permeability, is not correct or is not accepted by the people around us, you know. And this idea of recovering intuition is also so, so important. And I love the way you explained is that the intuition is the ability to know when something is good for you and when something is not good for you. And the amazing thing is that we talk about things like intuitive eating and intuitive decision making and all of that. And a lot of the time we think there should be rules, you know, whereas one day having the chocolate might be the best thing you can do for your intuition, and the next day it might not be, you know. So to be able to know and honor what you're really feeling in your gut on a food sense and then on a psychological sense as well. The thing that really kind of comes up for me though, and this is maybe more of a personal thing, is this fear of trusting the process that I've experienced, not only with elements like plant medicine, but just anything, you know, trusting the fact that my body fluctuates and it's not permanent, trusting the fact that, you know, if I don't exercise today, it's not the end of the world, and really just trusting my body and seeing myself beyond what I am experiencing my body, but recognizing that what I'm experiencing my body is vital to my connection with myself. The thing that really comes up for me is that when people are thinking about using plant medicine as an effective treatment for eating disorder recovery, and they perhaps have a history of addiction, right? And this is where I see a lot of people struggle, because someone who is not guided in the right way, who has a history of substance use disorder, can then maybe not necessarily do this process for the right reasons. Maybe their intentions are skewed, or maybe it's not actually the best thing that they could be doing for themselves. And how would a person who is maybe in recovery from substance use disorder be able to still integrate plant medicine into their lives? Or is that just not a good idea at all?
Yeah, it's a very challenging question that you pose, and certainly, you know, unique to each individual. What's coming up for me is like, what is the support structure that this person has around them to help them move through a journey and to integrate it and prepare for it? What is the resources that the person has? What is the container that the person is sitting in this moment? Because what they'll be going through could be some very deep material. And to have a sounding board and a support system to help them clarify their reasons, to help them understand the depth of this work and the responsibility that it takes to undergo a journey like this, and the responsibility that is required to then integrate afterwards, to have that kind of information offered is important. You know, at the end of the day, people will you know, end up walking the path that they need to walk. And so, yeah, sometimes we end up doing a journey at a point where maybe it wasn't the right decision. And then we're in the journey and we realize, wow, like this actually wasn't a good time for me. And now I understand the reason why I felt driven towards that, why there was this desire. And I come to understand my desires and my reasons for doing things and my impulsions and my kind of knee-jerk reactions. And maybe there's a sense of realizing, wow, I just ended up wanting to do this journey because I just felt like I needed a cure. I needed something just to help me. But realizing, I'm now realizing in the middle of this journey that it's actually me who carries me through recovery, and there's nothing outside of myself that will cure me. Sure, there can be catalysts. Sure, there can be supports. But ultimately, it is me and my internal journey. And so that can sometimes be a huge realization for people if they end up doing a journey for quote unquote the wrong reasons. I think there's always a reason if we end up doing a journey. There's something to be learned. And sometimes it's those shadow sides of like, I just want the world to fix me. So I think what's important is establishing a strong sounding board of support. Depending on where a person is physically, like certain medicines are very intense on the body and it's not recommended for people. If there's a history of certain mental conditions, as well as if there's certain kinds of medication, there are, you know, there's also big no-nos there, or just really strong considerations before just walking in or deciding. So there is definitely harm reduction education that must be done so that there is safety. And when there's safety, there's healing.
I love the word you use, catalyst, and you use it in your profile as well on your website. Is this like this idea that it's when you come to incorporate plant medicine in your journey, plant medicine is not the answer. Plant medicine is something that might be able to help facilitate the realization that your inner self and your inner journey is the answer, you know, and to be able to open you up to that idea of, I don't need something outside of myself. I don't need people, places, things, drugs, substance, food, whatever. I need that intuitive connection with myself. And when I can really step into that as the answer for my healing, then I will be in a space where I can experience lasting recovery from an eating disorder. There's a couple of things that really struck my fancy on your website, and I could probably talk to you for hours about this all. But two things is the two books that you have on offer, one called Eat with the Moon and the other one called One Way Ticket to the Soul. I'd love to know a little bit more about these books and kind of what they offer and what they talk about.
Yeah, Eat with the Moon was inspired by my journey in about 2015, 16, 17, 18 of coming off the contraceptive pill, which is very closely linked to my eating disorder recovery. I went on the pill to help me with some acne. And then at the same time, it was very convenient because I was getting a cycle, a menstrual cycle from the pill, but I knew that I was also underweight. So whilst I'd come quite far in my recovery at that point, there was definitely some things that were going on that were not fully resolved. And I think around that time, there was almost like a second relapse in a way that was happening. And I'm just highlighting this because the recovery path is so cyclical. There's so many different spirals. It's not linear. We can be walking the recovery path for years and something can happen and we're in the same old behaviors, just trying to get through. And so just wanting to normalize that, like, even if you've been walking this path for a long time, relapses, quote unquote, little setbacks and step backs are expected. And just to normalize that it's not, you're either in an eating disorder and or you've recovered. There's a whole amount of gray area that comes with being in recovery whether it's an eating disorder or substance use. And just to say that, like, holding that can be a huge relief for people, because I think there's a lot of judgment that can happen in those moments of relapse, in those moments of struggle. So yeah, I came off the pill and then went on a whole journey of like another layer of my recovery, where I then started writing this book in about 2017. And it was just my journey of finding a balance with my hormones and ultimately a balance with my body, and also looking at how the skin is also a representation of how I feel about myself on the inside, which was so directly connected to the eating disorder as well, of like just not wanting to be seen. And there's also a big section on aligning our cycles with the moon cycle and connecting to nature as a healing modality. So Eat with the Moon is quite specifically related for like hormonal balancing and reconnecting with the body. And there are also some recipes in there. One Way Ticket to the Soul, I wrote whilst I was overseas in Central America. I was there for, again, another layer of healing. There were aspects of my eating disorder that I wanted to let go. This book includes journaling questions for people in recovery, tips on how to heal your relationship with food, and also speaks to this idea of traveling, both like the act of physically traveling, which has been a big part of my healing journey, is just being able to like break the routine and break the pattern, but also how the recovery path in and of itself is an adventure, is a journey of traveling from one known place to an unknown place. Both of these books, they represent different stages of my recovery, different chapters. I enjoy the process of writing, and I find that they support like a culmination of a chapter within my life that I then love to share with others. So it certainly won't be the last book that I write, because there are many more chapters to be uncovered and processed.
Yeah, these are such beautiful, and they're just, it's so funny how it resonates, because I was literally talking to a colleague the other day about this connection to hormonal contraceptive pill and how it can affect the eating disorder. And I'm curious to digging deeper into that process. And, you know, it connects with three things that came up for me. The first was this fact that I have personally recognized when I have been on the contraceptive pill because of my endometriosis, I have seen a direct response in my ability to manage anxiety around food in my body. It severely gets diminished, you know. And then this other thing of like eating with the moon, connecting with the cycles. I often joke with my partner about how like in an ideal world, I would sit and have conversations with the moon on a nightly basis. And this is what my soul calls to. But then it comes into this idea again, is we're so scared of just stepping into that truth, of just going like, it's really okay for me to decide tonight that I want to go sit under the moon and have a conversation with it. And that's not weird, you know, like, so it's really beautiful how you're talking about like removing these conditionings around ourselves, removing these fears, and going into a place where we don't only recognize cycles as an inevitable part of the human process, but when we start to honor them and work with them instead of judge them, because we tend to, as a society, we tend to judge the menstrual cycle. We tend to try and stop it. We tend to try and control it. And actually just stepping into that space where we go, how can I work with this thing that's supposed to be natural? And the thing you said about the skin as well. I mean, I've had this thing where I have a skin picking obsession, where I'll like find something on my skin and I'll just like go at it. And I currently have, and then maybe this is a bit of overshare, but I currently have a cyst on my arm, and I've been like hacking away at it daily. And every single time I'm like, how am I treating this beautiful organ? How am I connecting with this? Right now, all I'm doing is I'm picking at it and I'm not letting it heal. And I'm thinking about how that reflects into areas of my life that I'm not allowing space and time to heal, that I'm trying to like fixate on, you know? So lovely that you brought in the skin there as well. And this idea of connecting with movement, connecting with the soul, connecting with cycles. And I'm definitely going to be getting your Eat with the Moon book, because I think it's something that I need to also integrate into my personal life. And I think confirming these ideas that I don't think I should be on a contraceptive pill, you know, and what are the alternatives to balancing hormones? And how does this play in my relationship to food in my body and my ability to integrate and work with cycles? So really, really wonderful. I would really love to know two things. The one is, you have a moment here to share one of your greatest insights, one of your greatest messages, or something that really, really just resonated for you in your personal journey, to encourage people who are walking a path of eating disorder recovery, wherever they are at. So what is that message that you'd like to share with people?
Fantastic. So many things come to mind, but I think I'll share what's also like resonating for me in my own personal life and where I'm at in my own journey, is that an eating disorder is a representation of how intimate we can be with life. And recovery is this path of learning how to be present and close with all of life, to really receive and to embrace life as it is, and obviously then ourselves as we are. Recovery is about presence. It's about connection. It's about being intimate with each moment. And so I would just like to leave that as maybe a thought, something to ponder of, like, where can you embrace life more? Where can you receive from life more? Whether it be around food or towards your body, in connection with people in your life, whether it's being in nature and how you engage with the world around you, how can you let life in more deeply? Because when I think about food and eating disorders, there's a sense of like, either that I don't even let the food in, like a restriction, or I let the food in and then it needs to come out, whether it's through the act of purging or if it's through the act of exercising, or, you know, it's like anything that comes in too close has to come out or cannot come too close. And even things like, say, binging, there's a sense of, I have to eat so much that I can't feel the closeness of life. So either way, I feel like this recovery path is allowing ourselves to strip down all the layers and the armor that keep us separate from life. And how can we be more connected? How can we allow ourselves to fall into that nest, into that web of life?
What does someone do when that intimacy is either diminished, ridiculed, not received? Like, how does a person integrate intimacy and presence into their life when the people around them are saying it's too much?
Yeah, and what you bring up is certainly a complicated variable, in the sense that the environment is and the people are not receiving who we are. It's a lot easier to start to practice that intimacy and that presence when we have a safe group of people who are, you know, really here for our process and understand what we're going through. It makes it a lot easier. And so what to do when it's like the environment feels so abrasive? And I would say to that, how to start finding a connection towards life is to start to make contact with the body, to notice when there is a shutdown, to notice when there's a desire to run away, when there's a moment of wanting to push that moment away, to numb it away or repress it, to start noticing the patterns of pushing life away and noticing how the body moves through the world. How do we hold ourselves in the world? How do we walk through and move through life? Start mapping out your energetic signature, your frequency in this moment. And how can you bring some compassion rather than judgment to those responses? These responses and these food and body behaviors developed from somewhere out of a specific reason to protect. And let's start to map out, when are some of these behaviors and these adaptations and these strategies, when do they come up? Are they necessary in this moment? Sometimes it's like, it's not necessary. I don't have to be, say, restricting right now. Starting to notice when they're not necessary. And if we choose to engage with them, also bringing even like a mindfulness, like using it as a moment to observe, using as a moment to like meditate as you're going through this process of over-exercising, like really be with the experience, like get close, be intimate with life in that moment, however you're engaging with it, as a way to create a wider perspective. And through that wider perspective, we then start to have the opportunity to actually start to fill the holes in that container, to fill ourselves up from the inside out. And then that even starts to then change the environment that is around us. And so I would say it's a process of inviting more awareness.
Yeah, I could sit here and literally talk to you for hours because you have so much insight and so much wisdom and so much to teach people about this process, not only with eating disorders, but just in being human, you know. And so, you know, for those of us who are desperate to find out more about the work that you do and the things that you have to offer, maybe you could just let me know, how can we find you? How can we contact you? And do you have anything coming up or that you're working on personally or professionally?
Always working on things personally. But yeah, I can be found both on Instagram and my website at FrancescaEatsRoses.com or at Francesca Eats Roses on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, but Instagram and my website are best. I offer one-on-one work with people in South Africa and around the world, so in person and online. And then I also offer a monthly group. It's an hour and a half. We meet once a month. It's kind of like a sharing circle, an integration circle. And then I'm also in the process of creating a online program. It's a microdosing program for embodied dietary transformation. So if you're interested in cultivating your microdosing practice or deepening into your microdosing practice as a way to support you in your eating disorder recovery, again, from this embodied somatic perspective, that program will be coming out probably in a few months. And that is all for now.
Awesome. So those who are listening at the moment, today is the 27th of April, 2022. So if we are going to be releasing this podcast episode in a few months' time, you probably find it's going to be quite in line with Francesca's microdosing course coming out. I would love for you to share that with me so that I can share it with listeners when it is happening. I can share it on social media and people can really just drop into that if that's resonating for them. So with that, I would love to say thank you so much for your incredible insight. And I'm sure anyone who is considering the process and journey of plant medicine in the healing journey will have got a lot out of this and now at least have some place or some ground to start working up from. So thank you so much. And I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you have liked it, share it with people who you think might benefit from listening to it as well. Don't forget to go to my Instagram page called @curiousaboutrecovery to find out about upcoming episodes or to browse the episodes of the past. You can also follow my page called @KirstenHoneyball where you can get inspiration for your eating disorder recovery.